Okay, well, thank you to everybody here for coming to the final session, which has been a busy 2 days. So, second last speaker is Noor Madani.
Thank you very much. Before presenting my paper, I think all of us, we should thank the organizers. So, Yassine, Tom, and Professor Grasselli. Yeah. Thank you very much. So this is joint work with, and it's a pleasure for me to be again in Canada. And this is joint work with people that were in Canada, or in Quebec, to be more precisely. So, no, I didn't finish. No. Because actually, Peter Christofferson, who is still in Quebec, is coming next year here to Toronto. So it's a simple paper about modeling realized variants. And I mean, basically, the goal here is to now to see whether realized variance helps to a better price options. So we know from the paper by Tim Borsev and Torben Anderson that realized variance is a better measure of volatility. We know from the paper by Anderson, Borsev, Debot, and Leibis that if you use time series models by using realized variance, you will have better forecasts than Darche type models. I have a paper with Bruno where we show actually realized variance, if you are interested in density forecast, will do a better job. So what we are trying here to understand is whether it helps also for option pricing, and the response is yes. So I will present to you some empirical work based on, so the data that you have is S&P 500 daily returns from 1983 to 2001. Or 2009, sorry. Realized variance will say we also have realized variance based on 5 or 60 minutes. I will present only results based on 5 minutes. And we use options, so Wednesday closing from some week data at out of the money. So call and put options from 1996 to 2004. The main empirical findings is that under the P measure, for sure it helps to use realized variance. So the likelihood tells you that you should use it. And all the relevant parameters that is telling you whether realized variance should be there are significantly different from zero. So this is under the P measure. Under the Q measure, so we'll propose a model where we can compute prices of options. Then the model will give some implied vol, and we'll compare it with the Black-Scholes implied vol. So this is a traditional method. So what we'll do is to minimize the implied volatility root mean square error. So this is the Black-Scholes based on observation, and this is the one that implied by the model. What we will see is that there is a substantial improvement with respect to the benchmark model, which is Heston and Nandi. And the driving force, I will show you the results now, the driving force is really the bias. So this is the in-sample, so implied vol, root mean square error. And we compare, this is the model that I will explain later. So this is the Heston-Nandi is based on only on daily data. And this is the model, the best model based on realized variance. So, and we are looking to this implied vol root mean square error in terms of monoiness maturity, so this is number of days, and then maturity, or the VIX level. And as you can see, whatever the maturity, this model is doing a better job. The moneyness, whatever the maturity, whatever the level of the volatility. And you know, this is a big difference. I mean, the improvement from here to here are really big. Okay? And the driving force in this implied vol, because there is the bias term and the variance term, is here. So for the monoiness and the weak liver, it's really the bias, always. For the maturity, well, actually, the driving force is not the bias, but the variance. I will be a bit more precise about how we get these results. The related literature, well, there are papers by Tim where he was interested in modeling jointly retense and realized variance. So in the first paper with Forsberg, it was just the modeling about the joint. And the paper with George, Christian, and Pidoge, they were interested about the dynamics. In the context of option pricing, there are at least two papers that we are aware of, Stentoff, and Corsi, Fusari, and Lavecchia. I think Lavecchia is here. But these two papers, what they are doing, they are writing a model, but it is not affine. So for the option pricing, they use simulations. What we'll do an affine model, so we'll be able to compute analytically option prices, and then we'll compare to Hess and Nandi, and this is something that they didn't. And I have to say also that even if this paper is, I'm presenting is in 2010, in the 2007, we already provided some results. Okay. So this is the model. This is about the return. So this is load return, risk-free rate, lambda times the conditional variance minus 1/2. This is just a way to write it. So lambda basically will be the price of risk, times the square root of the conditional variance times the noise here. And this is, it follows an approach by Duan. The GAST model of Hess and Nandi is a particular form of the conditional variance, and it is assuming this way. So the omega, the G part, but the alpha part, the arch part, is a bit different than the usual arch or the usual darch, because if you take the usual darch, it will not be affine. Affine meaning that the Laplace transform is exponential affine in the state variable. And this parameter gamma drives the leverage effect. So this is the Hess and Nandi, and it's really hard to do a better job than this model here. And this is always the model that people tried to beat. Now, we are using more data, so I will provide you four models that we'll estimate. The first one, the first and second one, will be based on just realized variance. That is, to write the conditional, this conditional variance here as a function of realized variance. So the first one is the one that I would call naive, is to say, well, this is the conditional variance of the return tomorrow. Well, I will take it as the realized variance today. Okay. I will call it the naive. Of course, because we are doing option pricing, I need more. I have to specify the dynamics of this realized variance. So we follow Hess and Nandi by using the same type of equation. But of course, now I have a new shot here, which is not the same here, because in Hess and Nandi, there is only one shock. But here I have a second random, a second observation, which is realized variance. So we assume that there is another shot here, and that there is a correlation. These two shots are correlated. One remark is that here realized variance is an autoregressive process of order one, which is not good. I mean, you should have an MA part due to temporal aggregation. Anyway, this is the first model. The second model is a bit more smarter, is to say, look, this conditional variance is actually the expected value of the integrated variance, and we know that under some assumption it's also the expected value of the realized variance. So that we call empty. So actually, what we will do is to write a time series model on the realized variance and model this condition expectation. So the example that we are taking is this one, and it's like a Darch 1-1 equation, okay? And here it means that the realized variance is an ARMA 1-1. But the important part is that we are writing here the expected value of the realized variance. So this is why we call it expected realized variance. Again, we need the dynamics to write the Laplace transform, but we are imposing this restriction. So this is what we suggest is then as Heston Nandy, but we want that this is the conditional mean, so we have to remove, we have to compensate for this part here. Okay. Now, this is realized variance, but we have also Heston Nandy, which is only based on daily squared written. So it makes sense to put them together. And it is a way to augment the Heston Nandy with the realized variance. So the next models would be basically to say, well, actually we should combine both the Heston Nandy and the realized variance. So now the conditional variance is actually a weighted average of the two realized variances. This is the daily, H is based only on squared daily written, and this is based on the height frequency. And we keep the same type of Heston. So here it's the same thing, okay? So this is for realized variance, this is for M. So we have Heston Nandy, we have two pure models based on realized variance, and we have two models that combine realized variance and daily squared returns. We follow the tradition in this discrete time literature is that lambda is not estimated. It is fixed so that the equity premium is 6%. And there is also variance targeting, is that the unconditional variance of the model is fixed to the, it's matched to the data before the estimation, which means that we will not estimate omega 1 and omega 2. They are fixed so that the unconditional variance of the model equals the observed. And this is something that Robin called tardy, and apparently it helps. So this is a way basically to estimate less parameters. Those are the lights, so from the data, the daily data. So this is the, we compare when you have the joint process, realized variance and the square and the daily return, when we compare, those are the log likelihood. Of course, we are not comparing Heston Nandy because Heston Nandy is not a joint, okay? It's only about daily return. So in the paper, we explain how to compare them, but here I don't have time, so I will focus only on the joint. And this is the number of estimated parameters, and this is our favorite process, and you can see, you know, the improvement in terms of log likelihood, if you compare this with those, or this one is huge, okay? This is, if you compare, for instance, from this model to this model, it's more than 70, it's almost 80, yeah. This, which is huge. One parameter, you get 80. So adding this, by doing this expected value thing helps a lot. Okay. Those are some estimators, and let me, so we started, how much time do we have? We started at? Okay, well, 8. Okay, so first of all, the estimation of the weights. Clearly, the weights are significantly different from zero here. The beta, so this is the Darche part. This is Heston Nandy. When you add realized variance, you decrease beta, which means that you don't need to smooth over the past squared return. And this is something that we already advertised, that realized variance actually, because it's very good the measure of variance, you don't need to filter, you don't need to use past squared daily returns. The MA part, so the when you have the arma in this expected value, so theta is also significantly different from zero. And finally, the correlation between the two shots, well, is small, but non-zero. One thing which is very important, the difference between all the models that we estimate in Heston Nandy is the conditional correlation between the return and the conditional variance. I will show in the graph that actually all the models that use the realized variance this conditional correlation is small with respect to Heston and D. And this is again something which is related to the quality of the measures. Realized variance, because realized variance is a good measure of integrated variance, you don't need to smooth over squared, past squared returns. You don't need to filter. So those are the four models based on the realized variance. This is -2, -4, okay? But if I take Heston and Nandi, it's -0.8. It is a huge difference. And this will play an important role in the option pricing. Now, when we go to option pricing, we have to do risk neutralization. So we follow Christoffersen, Elkhamy, Fenu, and Jacobs, where they provide a general way to do it. There are other papers that do the same related things. So, is when, for instance, in the context of this GRV, so the one that used realized variance, this is the pricing kernel. What you have to do is to impose restrictions. The first one is that under the Q measure, this is the risk-free rate. And the second thing is that so we can impose this restriction. The second restriction that we impose is that it is still affine under the Q measure. So it gives you this restriction. So we have two restrictions, and then you can solve from U1 and U2. So now we use this. We estimated then the models and by using option data by minimizing the root mean square error of the implied vol. And those are the results. Again, the weights are non-zero, but are smaller now than in context of the based on the P measure. Now the beta, and I have no idea why, the beta is going in the other direction, but this is something in the options. The MAO parameter is also more important, so you need to smooth more. So somehow you need more, you want to have more persistence. And the correlation is much higher. This is again, now we compare all the models, or if we compare about all the models, this is the implied, the root mean square of implied vol, and whatever, when you compare all the models, this one is doing the best job for the moneyness, for the maturity. For the Vitz level, sometimes there is one case where they expected this model, so this is the one without Heston-Nandi, but use the MA part. But as you can see, the difference is small. So overall, whatever the category are taken, this model is really the best one. The driving force is really, this is the bias. So the driving force is often the bias, maybe not here. And not for this is clearly not the here. The driving force is the variance, and here again this is the bias. Those are some graphs about when we compare the root mean square of implied vol of the different models with the Heston-Nandi. As you can see, there are clearly there are many cases of time. So this is the Heston-Nandi, and this is the model. There are many times where they are really smaller with respect to those. So to conclude, well, what we established here is clear that it helps to use realized variance. There is still work to do, in particular to maybe to have better results here. I mean, the fact that I would prefer to have even better results for the mean, for the bias here. So maybe we can improve the dynamics of the models based on realized variance. That's it.